Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there on Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. The world is filled with pimps and hoes. We'll just talk about those I knows. I have to get with Bailey and re-record the intro. There's too much going on. It is on my list. It will be done. Cryptotalk.fm is the site that you can hit us at. The other one still works, but I'm excited to go to cryptotalk.fm. I'm a personal update, right? So I was going to do some out-of-cycle updates, but there's so much crap going on. I figured let me just wait until Tuesday and just get it all done in one fell swoop. And so I know there's some that enjoy the out-of-cycle, and I'll apologize for not holding to my guns. I'd never want to do the out-of-cycles like multiple times a day, and I didn't want, there's so much to talk about. I didn't want to have them too long, but today's a perfect episode for it because this is designed to be slightly longer because of the out of cycles. So bear with me. I figured this was the perfect fit, but other than that, personal, right? So I'm still in the process of buying a home, and I don't know if I mentioned here, and if you're new, welcome, you wouldn't have heard this story, but I'm trying to buy a little house, and it's the second one, and I basically had to hardball, and I had to learn out here, you have to hardball these people. They're going to try to tell you no to a fair deal, and you got to basically hardball and say, all right, screw you, bro, and kick rocks, and then they'll come back groveling on bended knee, trying to make a deal, and that's what happened here. And it's not exactly what I want, but it's still a decent deal, and I think I'm right in alignment with the appraisal to come. So we signed the deal, everything's done, price cut in my favor. I just got the title insurance commitment. There's a lot to this, and I talk more about it on casualtalkradio.net if you're interested in the home buying experience. I'm kind of doing it in a multi-part as I go through it. It'll be the way I document the journey. So if you're interested in it or curious about the process as it is in the United States, do check us out at casualtalkradio.net for those. So that's occupying a lot of my time. I still have my endeavor. Things are going good. It's just that every now and then I get somebody stupid getting in my way, and I'm trying to get them out of my face, and I'm not having the best of luck with that. Other than that, it's just a waiting game, waiting for this home to get all done and dusted. I am collecting collectibles because, you know, I was not smart in my younger years. And to be fair, I didn't have a lot of money, but I wasn't smart with some of the stuff where I had some collectible stuff, irreplaceable stuff, things that you cannot find anywhere. And I literally mean anywhere. Some stuff was like VHS things, but I had games, I had movies, I had toys, and all sorts of collectible things. Things that if I had just hung on to the damn thing, it would have skyrocketed like 10x. And so I've now gotten in this groove of collectibles. And the funny story for anybody who's a gamer out there, there's a controversy on PlayStation 5 with this Stellar Blade. And if you don't know Stellar Blade, it's basically an action game. You're a chick, and I'm going to call her a chick because that's what they portray her as. You're a chick going around swinging a sword, blood splattering all over you. It's mindless, numbing fun. That's what it is. I didn't care about that. What I cared about is the developers basically said, you know, this is going to be an uncensored game. We're going to have all these sexy outfits because we want to have sexy women. And they made a compelling case. It's like you're staring at the back of this character, so they got to have a nice ass, and they got to have all this. So it got a lot of hype because of the girl and the outfits and all this business. Well, I'm the kind of person who doesn't like digital games. Screw you, bro, because I want to own something physical. That's how I am. Talking about collectibles, right? So I've been buying physical games, and sometimes I'll buy the digital to play it immediately, but I'll also buy the physical because I've learned my lesson about the collectibles and rare. Sometimes the game goes out of print and you can't get it anymore. That happened multiple times. My collectible, I have pop-up parades and all sorts of things, Curios, they're called. And some of them, they're not manufactured anymore, so I've started collecting those. Well, this game, this Stellar Blade, I had bought it on PS5, not digital, because my PS5 basically collects dust. I'm a PC gamer. But I bought it on PS5 to have it, thinking this is either going to be rare, number one, or I'm just going to run, like, say, some yard sale, and I'll be able to make a profit later on. Turns out, There was censorship added to the game after launch, and the physical copy of it is the only uncensored copy. So now I'm getting to take a victory lap on people who are all about digital games. Screw you. It's all about physical, bro. Physical games, run the roost. It's just like cash is king. You know, people are learning the lesson. And the funny story about the cash thing, turns out O.J. Simpson, he was 100% cash near the end of his life. After he got out of prison, he refused to take any electronic payments. He was taking payments in cash for everything so that he didn't have to pay the Goldmans. However you feel about the dude, he knew the game. So, setting all that aside, right, that's my world. It's getting home all settled, taking care of my endeavor. I'm actually searching out a second endeavor. I'm not aggressive, but I do want to get a second endeavor just to have, you know, more money. Why not? And then collecting more curios for my deal. And if I can get the home, then my thought is I'm going to trick out one of the rooms and get one of these fancy cases to showcase all of my different knickknacks and doohickeys and all that good stuff. So I then was ignoring cryptocurrency. When I say ignoring, I literally was ignoring it. But there's so much crap. I couldn't ignore it for too long. We're going to talk about that right now. And again, bear with me. There's a lot to go through and not a lot of time to get through all of it. And I'll try to be as clear and concise as I can. Coindesk.com, we must start with Bitcoin. It is critical that we start with Bitcoin. Bitcoin looks horrible, ladies and gentlemen. So, zoom out to the month chart if you want to follow along. Coindesk.com, zoom out to the little month chart at the bottom there. If you want to follow along with what I'm talking about, there was a point where Bitcoin was on its way to about $72,000. It had some dips all the way down to the $65,000 mark. Seemed to hold steady there for a couple days, started heading downward again, recouped a little bit, and then started heading down even further. And so as I record this, just to give you a sense of how weird this is, a high of just shy of 65 grand, a low of about 59 grand, hovering about the 60 grand mark. The volatility is nuts, and the downward pressure that I see is insane. There's some specific catalyst that caused that. It's the amount of it that's got me kind of like, geez, what the hell's really, really going on here? And I dug a little bit deeper and I tried to correlate it against Ethereum. So on Ethereum's month, it looks even worse. A high of 3,200, a low of 2,900, hovering about 3,000. Ethereum was not able to recover significantly like Bitcoin was. Bitcoin had some recovery, and that tells me a lot of the money is flowing Bitcoin's direction, not to Ethereum's direction. And Ethereum is being punished for whatever the hell is going on with the Bitcoin side. Well, I dug because I wanted to understand a lot of this. Two main things I saw, and you may hear people online either disagree or have different senses. I'm not digging significant to go and find all 500 root causes. I'm looking for the big things. I'm looking for the obvious standout things that might cause the price shifts that I saw. First was uncertainty and inflation in the business. I'm feeling this now because as I try to buy a home, obviously I'm affected by rates. Rates are slightly higher than I would like them to be. I would certainly wish for lower rates. And the loan company even said, you know, we don't know where the rates are going to go either, but the best we can do for you at least is lock in the rates. Just understand what that means. It means if they go down, you're not going to benefit from it. But if you want to go now, you kind of have to go now. And I'm kind of compelled to go now because my lease is going to be up here in a couple months. And so that's for everybody that's dealing with inflation. And I would argue most listening to the channel probably are in some way. This is the kind of thought process we go through. We still have to live. You know, life goes on and so do we, right? We have to move forward. We can't be held back by a government that doesn't know what the F they're doing. We can't be held back by politicians playing chicken with your money. We can't be held back by these because we still have to survive and sustain. Now, I'm not financially hurting or anything, but the vast majority of my money is tied up in this home purchase for the short term. Now, by the time I get to the closing table, I'm going to have probably about another 16 grand in pocket. So it'll replenish whatever it is. And then if the home doesn't go through, I'll be damn near close to 100 grand and on hand. But for this period of time until this figures out, the money's locked up. I purposely am not spending large amounts because I want to make sure this thing goes through. through no fault of my own do I want it to fail. If there's going to be a failure, it's because of somebody else screwing up. And so everybody has that same, we can't plan around uncertainty with these rates, but it plays into impacts on us from a price perspective. Now, the rate that I chose, I think it's like 6.5%. You're like, that's pretty damn high. It is. And for me, I didn't worry too much about it because it's a 15-year loan. I'm going to be probably triple paying as it is. So my plan is to have the damn thing paid off way before that to minimize how much interest I'm paying on the loan. And there's no prepayment penalty. So I figured, okay, just get the damn thing done. I'll just pay it off early because that's how much money I make. It'll be an asset in the pocket. Worst I'd have to pay is taxes. Taxes are like $4,000 a year. It's not crazy amounts. There's no HOA. Everything else would be for improvements on the home. And then I can flip it. I can turn it around and sell it to somebody else off the improvements. So I'm kind of, in other words, positioning it for long term. A lot of people in the current situation with cryptocurrency are a similar thought process. Given the uncertainty of the inflation, they're not confident directing money towards cryptocurrency at this time. A lot of people are holding out. Some people are selling out. And I did say with tax season, which was April 15th for most people, there was going to be some sell-offs for people that were just trying to get ahead of tax season and say, I'm going to have a bill. Let's just deal with it. I had a bill. My bill was pretty darn large. And I knew, let me just file this stuff because I had to get it to the bank anyway. Let me go ahead and file it, set up a plan that goes to the business. I don't see it, but I wanted to get it out of the way and not wait till the last minute like some of these other jokers do. But everybody else might have been waiting to the very last minute. Some might be late with the filing because they might not have realized what was going on, or maybe they had some unexpected expenses or capital gains or whatever it is. But uncertainty about the inflation certainly played into a lot of this price negative that we see. So that was one main. The other main I saw, apparently, and I didn't know this because I didn't look deep, but apparently there were some Hong Kong ETFs that were going to be on deck, primarily Bitcoin, but also some Ethereum ETFs. And there was not confidence they were going to launch in the first place. So that was number one. Holding pattern, is this thing going to go? Some people put out some messages saying, we don't think they're going to go. Then it was like, yes, they are going to go. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. So that was some of this flux. And the Hong Kong market tends to put a lot of money into the industry, and then the United States tends to take a lot of money out. So when these ETFs finally did launch, but when they launched, there wasn't a lot of momentum on them. Nowhere close to what we saw with the Fidelity. Like even now, the Fidelity one has crazy amounts of volume. That's the one I chose for mine. I have investments in that one. And it just seems like, for whatever reason, there was not the same level of interest from the Hong Kong ETFs that we had on the other ones that we just had. Why that is, I'm not exactly sure, because I would expect that more money would flow into the ETFs than straight up cryptocurrencies or straight up futures trades or anything else, because they're safe. They're largely safe investments. Although there's a custodian, they're safe in the sense that you're not exposed directly to the regulatory scrutiny attributed to the cryptocurrency directly, and you're not exposed to the gambling nature of the futures trades. It might simply be, maybe, I can't say for sure, but it might be that they're suffering under their own form of wide-scale, you know, FOMO, as in they're seeing red across the situation, and they're hesitant to buy in. Like, if we were on that run-up, if they had released the same as ours, where we're doing just crazy amounts of run-up, perhaps they'd have bought in a little bit more. Maybe that's what it is. Because, you know, ours was close to, it was like $500 million of inflows when it first launched. And then the Hong Kong one is like 11 million, 15 million, like it's nothing. And that's, I'm sorry, for me, that's just crazy. Like, what the hell is going on with this business? And I can't say for sure what it was. Ultimately, it seems as though there just was some interest, and then that interest waned and never came back. So that's where we are, and that's what those two seem to be the largest catalyst to the price movements that we saw very most recently. This next situation, I don't want to talk about it. I don't, but I think I have to, because people might be in it that listen to the show, and I would be doing them a disservice if I didn't at least speak to it. So there's two parts to this business. Pulse Chain, which I've briefly talked about at points and have not gone deep into and don't plan to. And then BitBoy, which, again, I don't speak about anything BitBoy because he gets too much hype on social media. But the situation in this, the level of comedy was too high for me to avoid it. And I'm one where one of my fetishes is to see attacks. You know, I see some of these people on Twitter, usually it's Twitter, attacking some of these people when these things happen. Here's the background. Pulse Chain, I said, is half-baked. I think it's terrible. I can't stand its bridge. I eventually figured out what was going on in mine. So let me start at the beginning. Pulse Chain went on Richard Hart, okay? So they launched this business, and it was off of what they refer to as sacrifices. Sacrifices was you send them Ethereum tokens to an address, and they used essentially the liquidity from this business to launch Pulse Chain. Pulse Chain's out there. It's been running. There's a number of tokens on there. It's mostly backed by the PLS token. There's a rewards token, PLSX. There's Wrapped PLS, which is Pulse. There's Hex. There's other ones. And there's a bunch of garbage. So I had kind of toyed in it, and I was looking. The gimmick with this was it was a clone of Ethereum. So anything you had in your wallet as an Ethereum token, they cloned it. So you would have a Pulse Chain variant of those tokens on Pulse Chain, and you could sell them for money. Well, I didn't have a lot of tokens, but I did have a couple. And I wanted to check and see what was going on, what was there. And, you know, it was like $20 or something. But as I was trying to do the trade, nothing was really working. Now, they did some gimmick where for this, you have to have the PLS token as the gas. They airdropped like 1,000 PLS to everybody who is a first-time wallet on this. And that would be you. If you got in Pulse Chain, had never been there before, you'll get airdropped 1,000 PLS tokens. So you can use it for gas, so you can try it out. Now, I didn't think anything of it. But I was looking at these tokens and figured, okay, I said, let me try some stuff. And then I was playing around with Hex, and let me try some stuff. And I was using Trust Wallet at the time. And I'm going through their bridge and everything else. And I'm having major issues getting the damn thing to work. I eventually got it to work. It turns out that and even Alpha Wallet had the issues. It turns out that the wallets, they hold something. I don't know if it's a session. I don't know if it's cash. I don't know what it specifically is. But they hold something to where when they make a call, so let's say you connect your wallet to some swap or something. When you make a call, the swap is expecting that wallet to send certain data. Nonce is one field and certain other fields that they expect to send, and everything's got to be perfect. If it's not, the transaction fails. And I was seeing transactions fail left and right on this Trust Wallet business. I tried on Alpha Wallet. Initially it worked, and then they started failing. So I tried to dig in to figure out what was going on. I was able to solve it by simply removing the wallet completely, as in uninstall. Completely uninstall the wallet, reinstall it, and then everything started working. And then I was able to use it perfectly fine. And I was able to transact on Pulse Chain and get my stuff out of there. Okay, so now I kind of swore off of it. I then see, and I forget exactly how it was brought to my attention. I think it was Bleach's channel. But I then see this bro token, Bromance, and it's on the Pulse Chain side. I didn't go deep in it. I didn't follow it. I didn't, because I don't. It's, you know. But what I noticed after the fact, I looked at the graph. So this is DexScreener.com. I look at the graph, and it's basically a pump and dump graph. $4 million was put in, and then pretty much all of it sold out right away. It lost every single bit of gains. Had like market cap of $6 million, but liquidity of 90 grand. I mean, that was scary. That's scary, you know? So I'm figuring, okay, well, this was allegedly what I was told is this bro was airdropped to anybody who was holding Ben tokens. All right, well, it's airdropped. It's not, doesn't cost you anything, sure. But there might have been people who bought in because of some of the messaging out there. And as I was digging a little bit further, this is where the hilarity started because of a bunch of people pissed off about this pump and dump situation. And allegedly, there's more to this that I didn't even follow and I wasn't going to. And I figured I would take a moment to just share everything that I saw here because I think it's hilarious. Hilarious. And then I'm going to close. I was going to talk about another piece of crap, but I'm not going to talk about it here. I'm going to save that for a separate upload, probably tomorrow. And I may only do that to YouTube because it's so much garbage. I don't want to taint my channel with that crap. So, bro and pulse chain, right? User, I am that guy, says, quote, these people, okay, pulse chain be acting like kids lately. I think he means on. An investor won't even take them serious. The dump, any coin that starts to pump, look at bro from 60K% to negative 35%. These people acting hungry. User Banana says, quote, bro, dead already. LOL, that was a quick pump and dump. So I didn't know what was going on. I did see the pump and dump graph, but I didn't know exactly what was happening. And I dug a little bit deeper to try to, because it's a cesspool. I let the freaking account for Crypto Talk Radio die because that was how bad it was. But I figured, okay, let's just dig and see what the hell's going on here. Okay. So now I'm looking at the comments on this business. User Cryptographics PLS says, quote, bruh, bro. And it's got a meme of Ben Armstrong and Richard Hart, which allegedly that was the impetus of this token, is this bromance between Richard Hart and Ben Armstrong as some sort of a, unholy partnership or something. User McHexley says, quote, hey, bro, bros, in case you missed the memo, meme coins don't work without memes. You better start making some soon, or at least get your favorite insider shitfluencer to start buying with the gains they made dumping on your head. Or you can take the easy way out, dump this shit show and join the brutally honest light side of Pulse Chain, where we have truly fair launches, don't dump on each other's heads, and teach each other how to build something sustainable. Hashtag Tang Gang, whatever the hell that is, I don't know. Jeez. So, what I know is this dump, as an airdrop, I said with WorldCoin, when you give tokens for free, they're going to dump. That's what they're supposed to do because you airdropped it to them. I think there was an assumption that people might just buy in and not dump because they were waiting for it to go a little bit higher, and that didn't really happen. That's what I suspect happened in this situation. User Shit Reg Trade says, quote, scamming the Hex community with bro has got to be the lowest of the low. They're already down massive. User Fiat Expot says, quote, scam alert, do not fall for his marketing posts. Look at Ben Coin website and tell me what his scam coin does. He's just creating a lot of marketing buzz to make you FOMO. Stay away from Ben and bro. User Digital Wagyu says, quote, trust me, bro, and shows a picture of the graph doing the pump and dump situation. User Crypto Brawler says, quote, bro, you a scamming simp to a below mid hoe, pussy that can't box or fight out of a paper bag. Prove me wrong, Bender. So, So, mid, and what disturbed me is I heard Eric Bischoff use the term mid, and it made me cringe. Mid is a term that the young people are using to refer to as, it's what they used to say is basic, average, not that, nothing special. They didn't make up a word. They're using it in a very creative way. Bender, in this context, I think what they're referring to is the allegations that, I guess Ben himself confirmed that there was some drug use at some point in the past and that he went on a bender. I think that's what that's referring to. I don't know for sure, but I suspect it's what it is. User Mofo Fishing Show says, quote, it's actually truly sad as FK, as the greatest future use platform only has bullshit being put on it like this. And bro, everyone already knows everything that guy does or touches turns to cancer and dies. I've now came up with a reason nobody's taking the likely best platform. Ever is there allowing literal shit coins on it, aka meme coins, and on top of it, salt the steak with a shit actor on top of it. Wrecked. Always keeps it real. That's why I'll always be around if he has beef with Jake or whoever that is, ha. But goddamn, bro, we or Pulse community aren't ever going to get taken seriously. If Pulse is going to allow any circus show on there and not start getting utilities built, utilities leave you knowing a brighter future is coming. These dog shit meme tokens have zero future because even ones that I've seen claiming a utility are complete shit. I personally only see one meme with a useful utility, and you're going to laugh, but it may be a goddamn sleeping giant come this election. And that's actually, here comes the laugh for best utility meme, and that's LHENU that has the voting system that bots or people can't interfere or cheat the stats on. So yeah. User Panos says, quote, and this was the interesting one, the same guys who launched Bro and used BitBoy's name to market it also launched a VDB and used Naga's name to market it. They front-run you on all launches, buying the first 5 minutes candle before anyone knew the contract address, then dumped on your heads. They switched the contract address last minute for VDA after giving everyone a fake contract address for days, and most people got wrecked buying it. They call this a fair launch, and then Crypto Brawler responded, asking the question, quote, anybody know if any influencers were given token allocations pre-launch? Panos responds, saying, of course, they all did. Now, here's the thing. It's an airdrop. So essentially, everybody was given allocations. I think what they're trying to get at is, did anybody have tokens before the airdrop? Not necessarily before launch. Because as I saw it, the launch was at the same time. I couldn't tell if there was a distribution because I wasn't paying attention. But it's an airdrop, so everybody would have got tokens. I don't think that's the problem. In this case, you look at how much money flowed into it and how much money flowed out of it. It's really that simple. And then user Shaw Trades in response says, quote, imagine these same influencers running around grifting openly to their own community. Actually have people believing they never accepted endorsements for Hex and Pulse, as in the token. LOL. So this whole thing is an absolute chaotic nightmare. Like, it's bad. It's terrible to see it. And if there were people that bought in, I don't know if any did, you know, but if you bought in, I'm sorry. It did do what it did, and it may recover. I don't know, because I don't know anything about it, nor do I care to. I will tell you this, though. There's a reason, and this is a very good reason, why I simply do not cover these things when they get the initial hype and they first launch. We have to wait, you know, and see what's going to happen. And that may mean that you miss out opportunities. I just happen to be one of those that knows when there's those kinds of things, they don't seem to end well. I mean, the same thing happened, right, with the, what was that Solana garbage, right, with the phone. They gave it to the people that had the phone, and all that did was cause a rush to a piece of garbage phone just to get the tokens, just so they could sell them. WorldCoin gave it away just so people can sell them. I mean, is that the new gimmick? Like, we're away from reflections now. We're away from burn mechanics. Now the new gimmick, the new shiny, is to essentially airdrop tokens to people based on holding another token. That's or scanning your eyeball or whatever the, you know. So if that's the new gimmick, fine. It's not something I would partake in. I think it's, I think we need something better. I think we need something that would actually keep people. And I know that's hard. And I'm not advocating that you hold for no reason. I'm saying that, can you entice people to hang on to it for a valid reason, as opposed to giving tokens knowing they're just going to dump on it? Like, it could simply be people sold it because, hey, it's free money, right? And depending on the volume of tokens that they held, you know, it could be a couple hundred bucks for some people. Who knows? So, and you think about, if it was dropped to BEN token holders, could be that some people had losses in BEN and they used that sell to recoup those losses. Well, can I call it a Ponzi? Not really. It's kind of, you know, because you didn't have to pay for that. But at the same time, you know, it shifts. If they sold out, let's say they sold out completely. Let's say they sold both. If they sold out completely, nobody wins. But if they sold one to buy into this other one, it's not a Ponzi by the developer, but it would be unsustainable. As in, you can't, you know, there's only so much money floating around. If this over here did not entice new people to get in, it's not going to make a difference in the big picture. So I'm saying that, you know, I look at it and I'm like, well, I understand why this was the thing. I'm not sold. I don't buy it myself, but I understand why it was the thing. And there may be people who said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice and see what happens. And I celebrate their right to do that. But it's distressing to see it over and over again, you know, and this is the new gimmick. Seems like it is. And I think that World of Utility, you know, I think some people don't have a good business sense for utilities, because utility should still be outside the bubble. Most of the utilities are for inside the bubble. When I talked about gaming at the front of the show, you know, I've said gaming, I think, is the killer app. to help cryptocurrency when you think about free-to-play games. There was a story about a pastor that spent like $80,000 on church tithes on Candy Crush. Frickin' Candy Crush. One of the oldest damn games out there. A piece of garbage game at that. Spending $80,000. Not even that it's somebody else's money. Not even that it's the church's money. But on that? On that garbage. So you think about it. And listen to me. You have that still happen. You have garbage, crap games making $80,000 from a single person. If you, that game is nothing. It's nothing. And God, imagine if crypto could get a clue. And I'm not talking, because all the games I see in cryptocurrency are the same thing, right? It's always a first-person shooter or a driving game. Keep it stupid simple. There are actual card games, free-to-play card games out there. It's a no-brainer to bridge this to an NFT. Shiryo talked about doing it, and they sucked at it and didn't get it done. But they get Valkyrie Crusade was one of my favorite games at a point, 2012. I was playing that game to the nth. I spent crazy amounts of money on it because I like the art, and I was wanting to support the artists. But it shut down. But the point is, there could be something there. Million Arthur. Square Enix bought that IP. It started as a card game, and it was mobile, and it was free to play. There's all sorts of, you know, all sorts of freaking game opportunities. Simple games. They don't have to be overly complex. They don't have to be nuts or whatever. Just simple gaming experiences that are free to play, that entice free to play. And you pair it to cryptocurrency, you pair it to NFTs, and you can make a mint. Like, Decentraland tried, but there's, you know, it's whatever. Axie Infinity's whatever. I still think there's more opportunity there. And that would be the only utility I can see that would appeal at a wide scale, because that's worldwide. It doesn't care about language. It doesn't care about bias. It doesn't, if you make it right, there's no bias of a thing. You make it easy to buy into the business. You make it easy to transact the cryptocurrency with the business, and you can make a mint off that. I think that's really the future. I still maintain that. I'm going to keep maintaining that. I don't think the future is giving tokens away. Never have. I think people should be required to pay for things, because that's what keeps our economy moving, is people actually transacting. You want a healthy economy too. If you convince people not to spend money, all you're doing is letting the inflation get out of control. I know it's ironic, and then maybe I'll talk about that on Out of Cycle later. But that's what I see. And so I understand, and you know, maybe it's a goodwill gesture, that's all it is, but I think it has a negative effect, especially if nobody was going to buy into it at the end of the day. The last point I'll point out here, the prices, I think it's great. I know it doesn't feel that way, but I think it's great. The reason I think it's great is because we've looked for a discount. You know, we've looked for an opportunity to buy in at a much lower price point than the current. It just hasn't been a chance to. Well, now's your chance. If you are interested or have been interested, now's your chance to get in there and, you know, make some things. And so it's up to you if it makes sense. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you, if you were looking for a discount, I would be excited at what I see, especially if you're getting in or able to get into some of these other, because consider Solana went down to like $130 when I last looked at it. It had peaked up to 190. So you figure you're almost a 2X, easy 2X on just Solana. And Solana's high was what, $400 at the true all-time high. It never hit it. Ethereum hasn't hit its all-time high. It was like $4,800. It didn't get to its all-time. Bitcoin's the only one that beat its all-time high. The rest of them have not. What I'm saying is there's still profit opportunity in a lot of these different things. Somebody on, I think they were CoinMarketCap, had a really good quote. And they said, this is why you'd stick with the core, basically the core coins that I've said, they can never steer you wrong. But it's slow and steady. It's slow and steady wins the race. Or if you're a gambler, you want to roll the dice and then go after one of these quick pump ones. It's a strategy, and maybe you do win out. But you kind of lose the ability to complain if you take that risk and you can't time it right, you get so-called wrecked. Because that was the risk you took. You gambled. You rolled the dice, and the house won. That's what it is. You can't really blame BitBoy because there was nothing to it other than it's out there. We airdropped it to you. What are you going to do about it? Now, the flip, in all fairness, I said it. Pulse Chain is not easy to get into. I saw a video from Bleavs. He was breaking down how to connect it. And Blease was talking as though it makes common sense to everybody, right? Yep, you just go here and click your Mega Mass, and first of all, as I've said, regular people don't use MetaMask. They don't. So that was part of the problem. It's like, why are you doing MetaMask? Now, PulseChain, to its credit, does support Wallet Connect. So it does support Trust. It does support Alpha, BitGet, you know, all these other ones. But you have to kind of jump through a little bit of hoops to get through it. PulseChain itself, when it was broadcast, does not do a good job of helping the layman person get in it. So I think I understand they're trying to get PulseChain more attention and traction and volume. But PulseChain is not going to, it's not going to take off at the mainstream. It's not outside the bubble. And so some people will get in, and there were people complaining, you know, I got these tokens that I couldn't get there in time, and it would have been $1,500 worth. Now it's $300 worth. Well, still free $300. But this is kind of the downside of picking that chain, because it was not ready for mainstream. It wasn't going to be a good experience for people. So I can't tell you how to navigate, because it varies. Different wallets are different. What I can tell you is this. If you go to the PulseChain Bridge, and for this, I am assuming you know how to use a search engine, by the way. So PulseChain Bridge is what you're going to search. You should get the top hit of the Bridge site. The Bridge site is just a link portal. It just takes you to a link. And the reason I can't give you that link is because it changes. It could be something different every day. But there's a button. You click, it says something.cloud or something. You click it, and that's going to take you to the Bridge. The Bridge is so that you can get into PulseChain. There's a swap. PulseX has a swap. There's other swaps out there, but there's a swap, and the swap is what you would want to use. Now, the downside is that you may not be able to see the value of your tokens in Trust Wallet specifically. You may not be able to see the value of your tokens. I had to use Alpha Wallet to even see the value of the tokens. BitGet also can pull the value of the tokens. So depending on, that's why I can't give instructions. Depending on your wallet, you may not be able to add the network the way they're assuming you can. Some can, some can't. MetaMask always can, but MetaMask openly admitted they're going to violate your privacy. So I will always tell you to stay the hell away from MetaMask if you ever listen to me. But if you use BitGet, it supports it. If you use Alpha Wallet, I know it supports it. Zarian Wallet supports it. One other one, I forget off the top of my head. So there's a couple of them that do, and you want to choose one of those if you do want to get on the PulseChain and retrieve those tokens, although they won't have very much value in the current. They may have some value later, but as of right now, they don't have any value because there was a pump and dump situation. So I'm not against, again, if it's a genuine gesture of goodwill, I'm not against that. But I think there's a lot of assumptions about how easy it is to get into this stuff. It's not. For the layman person, it's not. There are people out there, I said on Casual Talk, there are people out there right now that struggle to count change. So if they can't even count change, they can't identify a dime versus a quarter. If there are people out there that don't know what an ACH is, if there are people out there that barely know how to drive a car, how can we expect them to go through the hoops that's asked in cryptocurrency? It's not realistic. And so that doesn't just apply to PulseChain. That's across the board. There's an assumption of what people can easily do. I can figure it because I worked in technology. It's not too hard for somebody that has. But if you haven't or you've avoided it, somebody who took a liberal arts degree and avoided technology, they're going to struggle with that business. And guess what? That's where the money's going to come from. So I'm not wishing them ill. I'm trying to share a message that I think there was too much assumption about how easy this situation was going to be for people. Because it's easy to you, you're assuming it's easy to them. And I'm telling you, it's not easy to them. They struggle with those things because it's not self-intuitive. Keep an ear out, by the way, for my out-of-cycle update, probably tomorrow. I don't want to, but I have to, because there could be people listening to the show that came from there. I'm going to be providing some information, again, hopefully for the last time, about Cytochain and some bad stuff I saw. There's still positive sentiment somewhere, but what I saw might mean that the positive sentiment is isolated to one corner of the room. Put it that way. It'll be very entertaining. There will be some colorful language. So if you're sensitive to such a thing, I do recommend that you skip the episode. But I try to suppress it. Trust me. It's just sometimes it's crap. You know, when it's crap projects, I don't want to do it, but it just comes out. It's not something that I can easily control when it's a certain level of bad. And that one's a certain level of bad. Arguably worse than this, bro. situation by far. So keep tuned to that one. I think some people will definitely be entertained by what it is that they hear coming out of my mouth.